Session is deepening. Volume is light today. The Dow has been down as much as 151 points in the low, and the NASDAQ was down as much as 46 on its low. Labor Department reported the December unemployment rate rose to 7.2%. That was higher than the economists had expected, and the economy lost 524,000 jobs in December in line with expectations. Drug retailers, home builders, and energy stocks are some of the weakest shares today. Currently, New York advanced economy is 2-1 negative on issues and better than 3-1 negative on volume. The Dow Jones Industrials are currently at 86.53. That's down 88 points on volume of just over 867 million shares trading hands. Transports are at 34.78. That's down 79. Utilities are unchanged at 3.72. NASDAQ's off 35 at 15.81. And S&P 500's at 8.95. That's down 13 on the day. Currently, we have 991 advancing issues, 2,081 declining with 74 issues unchanged on the day. The March bond closed at 133 and 430 seconds. That was up a full point in 230 seconds today, bringing a long bond yield to a 3.05. Oil closed at $40.90, barrel down 79 cents. And the London afternoon gold fix was off 850 an ounce at 847 and a quarter. Once again, the Dow Jones Industrials are currently at 86.51. That's down 90 points for the day. This is Scott Moe with Wachovia Securities. Have a good afternoon.
Why rainbows are curved on this moment of science. To see why rainbows are curved, it helps to understand what causes them in the first place. We see rainbows when rain is falling in front of us and the sun is shining behind us. When sunlight enters raindrops, most of it passes straight through. But some of the light strikes the drop at such an angle that it's separated into the rainbow colors and reflected back out the front of the drop. Each color is reflected at a slightly different angle, but all between 40 and 42 degrees. The narrow range of angles at which the colors are reflected is the key to why rainbows must be curved. The next time you see a rainbow, notice that you are in the center of the arc, and that if you move, the rainbow moves with you. This is because even though all the raindrops out there are reflecting rainbow colors, they do so in very narrow beams. You see the colors from only those drops whose beams shine on you. The only shape that will allow the light beams to shine on you at the precise angles is an arc or a circle with you at the center, so that you are always the same distance and angle from any point on the arc. This moment of science comes from Indiana University with production support from the Babson Foundation. Today's program was prepared with help from Scott Robeson in geography. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. To get podcasts, click on the podcast button. Once again, our web address is amos.indiana.edu, and for podcasts, click on the podcast button. For a moment of science, I'm Don Glass.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Prevena Medical Group's Diabetes and Obesity Clinic, a comprehensive clinic that addresses the patient's special needs, including nutrition, fitness, glucose monitoring, and cardiology. Appointments can be made at 217-337-1300.
In sports this Friday afternoon, Baltimore Ravens safety Ed Reed is the only unanimous selection to the Associated Press 2008 NFL All-Pro team that has 15 first-timers. 10 of the 14 offensive players and 5 of the 13 on defense had never been All-Pros. A nationwide panel of 50 sports writers and broadcasters who cover the NFL participated in the balloting. And all 16 AFC players and 11 from the NFC were honored this season. The Titans and Vikings led with 4 players each, and Baltimore had 3. Missouri All-American Jeremy Maclin tearfully announced today he is leaving school and turning pro after 2 record-breaking seasons with the Tigers. The wide receiver and return specialist led the nation in all-purpose yardage as a sophomore. His total of 2,833 all-purpose yards was 5th most in NCAA history. Several mock drafts have rated the 6'1", 200-pound Maclin as a first-round pick. Some project him to go in the top 10. Macklin says the specter of another potentially career-ending injury loomed large in his decision to leave early. He sat out his first year in Columbia after injuring his knee during summer workouts. Florida football coach Urban Meyer accepted the Associated Press National Championship Trophy, the BCS National Championship Trophy, and the MacArthur Trophy from the National Football Foundation today, praising his players for their maturity and commitment. The Gators earned the hardware by defeating Oklahoma 24-14 in the BCS title game to finish with a 13-1 record. Bobby Bowden says he will be back for a 34th season as coach at Florida State. The 79-year-old says details of his new contract are being finalized. He earns slightly more than $2 million a year. The St. Louis Blues face the Vancouver Canucks tonight as they begin a three-game swing through Western Canada. St. Louis is 0-2-2 in Vancouver since its last win there in March 2006. And the Blues are 2-6-2 with three ties over the last 13 visits there. The Blackhawks are off today before taking on the Nashville Predators in Tennessee tomorrow. The Chicago Bulls play host to the lowly Washington Wizards at the United Center tonight. The Wizards were held under 90 points in five straight games before a 99-93 loss to Toronto on Tuesday night. The Bulls, meanwhile, will be trying to continue their upswing after breaking a three-game skid by beating Sacramento on Tuesday. The score in that game, 99-94. That's sports.
Today's programming is made possible in part by Ratio Architects, designers of the M2 on Neal mixed-use project in downtown Champaign, on the web at ratioarchitects.com.
It's 247, 41 degrees in Urbana. For the two-state region, a winter weather advisory is in effect for far northern Illinois and extreme northwestern Indiana through early tomorrow morning and in north-central Indiana from late this evening until tomorrow afternoon. A winter storm warning will be in effect for northern Indiana tonight through tomorrow morning. One pressing health care issue every winter is the flu. It kills thousands of people, often small children, frail seniors, and people with chronic diseases. In recent years, doctors have relied on the drug Tamiflu to treat serious flu cases. As NPR's Richard Knox reports, though, most of the flu viruses circulating in America so far this season are resistant to Tamiflu.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has tested about 120 flu viruses so far this winter. Dr. Joseph Bercy of the CDC says 73 of them turned out to be a type called H1N1.
And of those 73 strains, 72, or 99%, are found to have the mutation that makes it resistant.
Resistant to the drug Tamiflu. Just before Christmas, the CDC warned doctors that if their local public health officials say the H1N1 strain is making the rounds in their community, they should assume that Tamiflu won't work against it.
We were worried about the possibility that a doctor might be treating a patient for flu, give them Tamiflu because that's what they usually give, not realizing that there are some resistant viruses spreading.
Dr. Mike Osterholm says the doctor has to make a stab in the dark about what flu strain is making his patient sick.
Unfortunately, we don't have a good test that would automatically tell us not only do they have flu, but is it specifically to this H1N1 type.
Osterholm leads the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy in Minneapolis. He says losing Tamiflu leaves doctors and patients with few options. For instance, doctors can't use an alternate flu drug called Relenza on children under 7. There are two other alternatives, amantadine and remantadine, but over the past couple of years, their use has declined sharply because another common flu strain has become resistant to them. So now, when doctors prescribe these drugs, they can't always get them.
We are already learning of some shortages that are occurring out there where apparently the supply of either or both of those drugs was not anticipated to be needed this year, and so that some of the pharmacies have not been able to get it on the day that it's requested.
The worldwide emergence of flu viruses resistant to Tamiflu causes another, bigger worry. What if the Tamiflu-resistant gene jumped from the H1N1 virus into H5N1, the deadly bird flu virus that still circulates in Asia and the Middle East?
We're clearly seeing H1N1 in Asia that could very easily provide some type of jumping mechanism if they were to combine with H5N1. It has not been demonstrated yet, and clearly that's one that people are looking at or looking for, but it hasn't happened to date that we're aware of.
Experts still fear the bird flu virus might learn how to spread in humans, touching off a devastating pandemic. If that happens, the world is counting on big stockpiles of Tamiflu to save lives. Richard Knox, NPR News.
In an unusual experiment, scientists have discovered something romantic about the sounds of mating mosquitoes. The male and female of one species perform a duet of truly operatic skill. NPR's Christopher Joyce has this story about a flight of acoustic fancy.
Sometimes scientists do strange things, like anesthetizing mosquitoes and gluing them to a tiny string or tether. When the mosquitoes wake up, well, neurobiologist Ron Hoy can explain.
We tethered a female, got her flying, and then took a tethered male and brought the male within a couple of centimeters of the flying female, and then the interaction would begin.
The interaction being, well, no, not what you think, not at first anyway, the female mosquito of the species Aedes aegypti will not mate with just any male who flies by. First, the male must produce the right flight tone. That's the sound made by his beating wings.
When the male now is brought close to the female, what we see is an acoustic interaction. There's going to be variation in the flight tones. The male will adjust whatever he's been doing to bring about a match.
What they do is vary the pitch of their flight tones until they're a perfect duet. The male's pitch is at about 600 cycles per second, the female's a little lower at 400 cycles per second. In music, he's roughly a D and she's about a G. And then something very special happens. If you listen closely, you can detect a third tone, an overtone in musical terms, fainter, more ghostly than the two main mosquito tones, up at 1,200 cycles per second. Okay, it's no Madam Butterfly, but hey, these are bugs. The important thing is, once the mosquitoes detect this overtone, they mate. At his laboratory at Cornell University, Hoy tested this by creating just the 1,200 hertz overtone with audio equipment. When he played it for mosquitoes, they responded to it.
The interesting thing about mosquitoes is that, you know, if you're tone deaf, you're going to be squat out of luck, aren't you? because you're not going to catch that modulation. So I think this is pretty amazing stuff.
And mysterious. Why would mosquitoes do this? Hoy says producing the perfect pitch might be some kind of proof of male mosquito macho. Certainly singing for sex isn't that unusual in animals. Rex Cocroft, a behavioral biologist at the University of Missouri, has recorded lots of bugs doing that. But he says the mosquito duet is one of a kind.
We think of insects as being masters of timing and rhythm and not so much masters of pitch.
Now, humans are also masters of pitch. And some scientists wonder whether we learned some musical rules by listening to animals, even mosquitoes.
So, for example, when people were writing those early melodies like Gregorian chant, well, when you have a large jump up in frequency, then you tend to drop down stepwise. And people are asking, well, do animals show similar kinds of rules?
If that sounds crazy, consider this. The interval between the male mosquito's tone and the female's is quite close to what musicians call a perfect fifth. In fact, composers for centuries considered the interval of a fifth to be the most euphonious. So, if mosquitoes have it right, all you need to do is find a melody with an interval of a fifth, and you're guaranteed romantic success.
Feelings.
The mosquito research appears in this week's issue of the journal Science. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
Trying to forget.
To date, no U.S. soldiers are missing in action in Afghanistan.
Get everybody out.
To bring every service person home requires a team with great courage and skill.
We managed to stop the aircraft just with a matter of inches between our tail rotor and the rocks.
The story of one recovery mission in Afghanistan later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 p.m.
It's 5 minutes before 3 o'clock. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's The World from PRI, and at 4, All Things Considered from National Public Radio. Let's take a look at the forecast as prepared by Mike Sola for Illinois and Indiana. Winter weather advisory in effect for far northern Illinois and extreme northwestern Indiana through early tomorrow morning, and in north central Indiana from late this evening until tomorrow afternoon. A winter storm warning will be in effect for northern Indiana tonight through tomorrow morning. This afternoon in the two states, in northern Illinois, mostly cloudy with light snow and sleet. In northern Indiana, cloudy with snow and freezing rain. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sunshine. Highs ranging from 25 in northeastern Indiana to 55 in far southern Illinois. Tonight, north, snow heavy at times with blowing and drifting snow. In north central Indiana, snow mixed with freezing drizzle at times. In central Illinois, scattered showers arriving this evening, changing to snow overnight. In the south, rain showers, possibly a few thunderstorms in the far south. Lows ranging from 12 in northwestern Illinois to near 40 in southeastern Illinois. Tomorrow in northwestern Illinois, becoming partly sunny. In northeastern and west central Illinois, cloudy with flurries and light snow during the morning, becoming partly sunny during the afternoon. In northern and western Indiana and in east central Illinois, cloudy with periods of snow diminishing during the afternoon. In the south and in eastern Indiana, cloudy with mixed precipitation early, changing to snow before tapering to flurries during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow ranging from 18 in northwestern Illinois to 45 in extreme southern Illinois. Now to the forecast for Champaign-Urbana. This afternoon, Mike says partly sunny, breezy, not as cold. The high around 40. We're at 42 at the moment in Urbana. The wind from the south to southeast at 12 to 24 miles per hour and gusty. Tonight becoming mostly cloudy with some rain showers during the evening hours, changing to snow showers overnight. The low 24. The wind shifting from southeasterly to northerly at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow cloudy with periods of light snow. Total accumulation of snow around an inch. The high tomorrow 26. The wind from the north to northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow night becoming partly cloudy, the low 12. Sunday mostly cloudy, the high 28. The outlook for Monday mostly cloudy with periods of light snow, the high near 30.
Earth and sky.
It's a bit like a massive uncontrolled experiment.
That's environmental researcher Alex DeSherbinen of Columbia University talking about the potential impacts of climate change on humans. Scientists believe climate change may force people in environmentally stressed regions to migrate.
We could see drying to a degree that agriculture is no longer tenable, so people have to move out of those areas.
DeSherbinen is referring specifically to sub-Saharan Africa. But in Bangladesh, he suggested, another vulnerable area, rising sea levels, may be the problem.
I could see situations where you